What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Hey, pal, we're here. It's Shift and Steer, and we're ready to go. But before we do, Matt's going to tell you who helps us do this.
Hey, pal, you should listen. you should pay attention to Geico, pal. you guys own your home or you rent your home. We've talked about it before. And you know how much work it can be, but you know what's easy? Of course, it's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because we already know you have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla. Let me tell you about my podcast. We do it every single day, so you can subscribe and there'll always be a fresh one waiting for you. It's about 2 hours of topical topics and news and guests and comedians and, of course, my own vitriolic take on just about everything that's going on in the world. Plus, we get a lot of really interesting, notable people who come in. We'll get politicians, we'll get tastemakers, we'll get stand-ups, we'll get authors, we'll get pundits, we'll get, I think about covers it all, celebrities as well, and we'll do some really interesting interviews with them. You can get the Adam Carolla Show wherever you download your podcast.
Rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Well, that's it. We like Geico. Hey, so yeah. I'll tell you my whole pal story is I'm going to revive pal. You know, instead okay. of man and dude. Yeah. yeah.
Isn't that a computer term?
I was over in Arizona, as you guys know. I wasn't here last week. And in a little bit of downtime that I rarely have, I had the TV on. And it was some station that had Emergency. It had Charlie's Angels, $6 Million Man.
Oh, wow.
And first thing, I was going down the rabbit hole because all the bitching cars. You watch those shows and you see such great cars, and they
our whole childhood.
So many great cars. Yeah. They got this one against a pole, and it's a C28 or something. But every one of those shows, they're all like, "All right, pal. Well, I'll see you down there, pal." And, you know, the emergency 51 guys are going, "All right, pal. We're gonna take you to the emergency room." You know, it was like. I guess in the 60s and 70s, pal was the word.
And then it became a computer term in the 80s, I think, right? wasn't it a programming thing?
Pal, yeah, I mean, or I'm something? Not a programmer.
Well, I'm thinking of Pascal. Sorry, I'm thinking of Pascal. Never mind. As you can see, for those of you that have video, I have a puppy in my lap. So I'm a little distracted today. I apologize. I'm a little sleep deprived, so I apologize. But as you can see, it's a hyena. All right, we'll leave it at that. Okay,
no, next. Tell them the name of your new dog.
Oh, this is Pestaloso, because he's got a complicated exterior, but the heart of a stallion.
But does look, man, camouflage. When you see him from the side,
I know.
Total camouflage.
I know. But his coloring is kind of like a hyena, huh?
Yeah.
He's tricky. He's a French bulldog, and his coloration is called a merle. It's kind of a new thing. They're just out of these exotic land now. So he was... a bit more affordable. I think Jesse James, Brad, you'll have to ask Jesse James, but rumor is he paid 30 grand for his. Or 20 something.
That's like, I don't know, like paying $10,500 for the new Porsche e-bike. I mean, who does that?
I know,
who
right?
Does that?
Holy, Ducati has one too. It's like $5,000 or $6,000. It's yikes, or seven, I think. Yeah.
It's, I mean, that Porsche e-bike is bitching. I mean, you know, it's all carbon fiber. It's got those spoke wheels and everything, but $10,500. Pretty big.
Speaking of e-bikes, Bosch has come up with a line of components that they can sell to bike manufacturers, and they're starting to push this. They have websites and stuff about it. Somebody from Bosch hit me up to see if we want to talk to like the e-bike Bosch CEO guy. And I was trying to think of a good spin for the whole thing, but they're like, oh, we have all these components. So you could build the, you know, the trail bike, you know, or whatever, you know, or the beach cruiser bike and the different ranges and different battery powers, but you build the rest, right? Like you do the frame and you do, it's just the components. It's almost like, remember at SEMA, we talked about SEMA, I don't know how many years ago. I don't know when the last SEMA was.
Unfortunately.
Crate motors?
The electric crate motor, right?
Yeah.
You got to have the wiring, the components and stuff. And the e-bike pretty much has that with like a little digital dash, you know, so you can control the thing. So it's kind of interesting that anybody could pretty much make one now if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a fabricator.
It's really true because, you know, I'm buddies with the Santa Cruz folks. And so I've been kind of trying to be loyal to them. But those electric bikes are so expensive and they're back ordered. I mean, they're back ordered like crazy. So I've been looking on Craigslist and I've been seeing some of those bikes you're talking about, Matt, that are home built with Bosch components. And I went, what? When did they start making? And they're nice. I mean, they're compact.
Check that out. I hadn't even heard of that.
Yeah.
And you know, here I am bagging on the Porsche bike and my e-bikes were 10 grand a piece. You know, I
mean, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That company.
Well, but you were in the early days, Brad. You were in the early days.
Yeah. Man. And well, anyways, hey, speaking of bikes, found a KZ, guys. Found my Kawasaki KZ. So
where'd you find it?
What's that?
Where did you find it? Tell us about it.
In the Kawasaki vintage showroom.
No, I found one in the Midwest. And thank you to our listeners, because I had some listeners get a hold of me and put me in touch with people. And I found one in the Midwest. It's pretty cool because the bike, it's going to need a little tender loving care, but that was what I wanted. The guy bought it from the original owner, was going to make it into a cafe bike, like a lot of these, you know, but he changed the bars, took off the fenders, put a power pipe on, and then life got in the way. It's been sitting for a long time, but he has all the original parts. That's what's cool. Oh, pipe, everything.
Cool.
And so, we're figuring out how to get it shipped the most economical way, and then it's going to be coming out here. And then in the meantime, another listener got a hold of me, and he knows a guy who knows a guy, and the guy just sent me photos of a KZ900, and it's really a basket case because it was taken apart. But again, it's only a second owner bike, but there's a little bit more of a deep dive on this one because – I've got to do research on the title because the title's missing and stuff like that. But don't tell Charlotte, but I might end up.
Brad, I'm not, I want to say I'm more familiar with those, but I'm actually not. Are they triples or are they fours? Or are they?
They're fours.
They are fours. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know they made a Widowmaker triple. That was a beast, but
that
I wasn't sure.
That was the earlier ones. They were two stroke.
Those were two stroke. Yes.
Bike. I'll tell you, I rode one of those once and I was raced motocross and everything. And I thought, oh man, I jumped on a 750 two stroke once that a guy had he literally brought it to the speed shop I worked at from the Kawasaki dealership. And I said, hey, can I take it? He goes, yeah, sure. Well, nowadays they call them Widowmakers, and they said they were the wheelie machines because you get guys would get on them like I did, and you'd just go wah, 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 let out the clutch.
And you hit $7,000.
Grab it up, and you stand on end. I'll never forget. That thing stood on end. I went across the parking lot. I remember my legs were sticking out like that. And I'm like, and I went off the curb doing a wheelie across the street. I thought, I'm going to wait. And I got it under control at the very last second before I hit the curb. Straightened it out, rode it up the street, came back, and I went, played it off like, I went, thought I was going to wipe your bike out, didn't you? Did that all on purpose. And my goodness, you know, I'm going, oh, shit.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Scariest.
Yeah, two strokes are gnarly, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
The only one worse than that that I ever saw, and I never got to ride it, was a buddy of mine, Ron Lax. He worked at the GM Proving Grounds in Arizona, and he also raced a super stock car that we worked on and stuff. And he had imported, he wanted this, I think it was a Suzuki, and it was a two-stroke four-cylinder. And every pipe had its own. It came from the back. You had a, on each side, you had two pipes, and this thing was crazy. It was like a full-on cafe works bike. They never imported into the United States. So he had it imported to Canada and then brought across the border. And he did all this stuff to get it licensed. The bike was so scary fast. And it was
crazy
on the street.
You know what? All those old two-stroke bikes, you know, I was a fan back then a little bit, but I didn't know the Japanese bikes as well, but I'm seeing them again now. Yeah. And like those two-strokes you're talking about, like I think there's an RC 400 or something, but there's Yamaha, Honda, and Suzuki. I don't know if there's a Kawasaki, but they were like these super bikes, you know, that they're these GP replicas basically. And man, they were gorgeous. And they had four pipes.
Yeah.
But the pipes were asymmetrical. So like one was high, one was down low, then the other two were clustered together on the other side. And, you know, and they were so cool, man. But I'm starting to see those pop up, and they're getting big money for those old two-strokes. The old Kenny Roberts RZ350s and stuff, man. They're getting big money for those. Even the YSR50s are like $5,000 and $6,000 if they're tidy. I mean, wow. It's – yeah, it's cool. So you're right there in that league, Brad. You're going retro. Nice.
Well, yep. And
retro motorcycle.
While I was in Arizona, I had some time to kill, and I stumbled into this motorcycle shop. It was called the Motorcycle Accessory Store, and it was just tucked away on this side street. Well, not on a side street, but, you know, I drove past it, went, wait a minute, did I just see a original YZ125 sitting in a parking lot? So I went around the block, came back around, and there sat this Yamaha YZ125 sitting there. And I see motorcycle store. So it's like 5:30 in the afternoon. I figure, they're going to be closing, but I walk in there anyway. And this guy named Bill and his wife, Gussie, the Ramseys, they were in there. And the coolest place, if you are in.
And he's like, hey, pal.
Yeah, right.
He did. He went, hey, pal. No, I've got my mask on, you know, and I walk in this place, and they thought I was robbing them because I was the only guy in Arizona wearing a mask. And, and so I walk in, him and his wife, they're sitting there with this vintage, like 1970s era CZ works bike, like a factory CZ works motocross bike. And they're struggling trying to get it on the stand. And I go, can I give you a hand there? You know, I felt bad, you know, because his wife's trying to help him. And so got it on the stand. And he goes, can I help you? I said, I'm just here to look around. This place, if you are into vintage motocross bikes, this was Mecca. Because you walk in, he had memorabilia. But rows and rows of grips and you know, everything you would need. But then salted in are all these beautiful bikes. I walk around a corner, there's a Mako. I walk around a corner.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's another
Taco, right? He's had like all the old Spanish bikes.
Yeah. These are perfect.
Very cool.
And then in one corner, he had a factory Kawasaki 100 TT bike. And it was like brand new. And the guy starts talking to me. And then I noticed some BMX stuff. And I go, oh, I used to be in BMX. And he goes, really, what did you do? And I said, well, I ran the ABA. I was one of the guys who ran the ABA. And he got kind of this, oh, really? You ran the ABA? I go, well, I was the vice president. And he goes, what's your name? And I told him, and he goes, oh, man, I know you. He goes,
hey, pal.
And it was a guy that I knew from back in the day.
Wow.
And his wife have this. Well, then that was great because he opened up the gates, took me in back. And I said, so you sell these bikes, you restore them? Somebody goes, oh, no, don't even get my wife started. So he's got all these bikes and they're not for sale. Just the accessories are for sale. And Whoa. He goes, I don't, so these are my collection. Then he takes me out back. He must have had 200 bikes, Elsinores and, you know, all Wow. kinds of stuff that were in various forms of, you know, a lot of them he buys just for parts, you know, they're $100 parts. But like he said, he pointed out Elsinore 250. And he goes, I walked into a garage sale and it had a $100 price tag on it. The guy told me the motor hadn't started in 20 years or whatever. And he goes, I looked at it and he goes, it was really rough. And he goes, but I looked at it and it had an authentic DG swing arm on it. And he goes, the DG swing arm on the resto market's like $1,200. And he goes, I bought it, brought it home. He goes, took me about a half hour. I got it started. And he goes, yeah. Ended up that it was a built motor, had all these trick parts on it. And so anyways, if you're into the stuff, now here's the crazy part. This guy's such a like collector, and this is such an off the radar type of place. He doesn't even have a website. He's got a Facebook page, but not a website. So,
wow.
And he calls it Uncle Bill's Black Hole. So
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's a motorcycle accessory shop in Mesa, Arizona. Super nice people. He gave me tons of time, showed me all his prized possessions, and it was really wow. cool. And unfortunately now I want a vintage dirt bike too. So, but
right. Hey, Brad, let me know. They're all over the place up here in the trades. No joke. No joke. All the Japanese, all the Spanish, there are tons of them up here.
I need to come up and look around with you. So anyways.
Good thing you're building that mezzanine up there so you can
stop. Yeah, I can get all my other crap up there so I got more floor space, man.
So, just hang them from the ceiling like I do.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You just want to make sure the gas tanks and the oils are empty before you hang them upside down.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You guys ever, have you ever, I mean, I don't have time to do it, but over the weekend, I just found myself with some extra time in Arizona, and I stopped at a few garage sales, which I haven't done hardly ever.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time.
And
yeah, me too. It's been a while.
I had one mission: old motorcycles and old BMX bikes.
Oh. And
I pulled up at this one in Apache Junction, Arizona.
Sure.
And oh my God. The only reason I stopped at it was because this hideous trike from like the 70s out front, it was one of those C cabs, you know?
Oh yeah. The old Model T C cab.
C cab,
yeah.
And then a trike, and it had the big like N5015 Krager mags on the back. And,
oh yeah.
And God. It was just crazy. The guy wanted $700. If I was just rolling on it was so gross, I would have bought it just to bring it back to like.
Oh, of course. Those you know? Things are becoming nostalgically cool, though. You know, and, it's like, as hideous as they are, they're hideously cool.
Yeah. But I stopped at a couple of estate sales, and it just totally bummed me out because I've never really gone to – I've gone to garage sales, but not estate sales. And these estate sales bum me out because it's like one day somebody locked the door and somebody's entire life was there. And – I don't know if it was a bankruptcy or they died. You know, some of them you can tell were very elderly people and they probably passed away. But I mean, it's like I went to one and their yearbooks were there from high school. Their, you know, and their yearbooks were 1987. So they're not that old. But like all their kids' clothes.
That's my age.
The booze was still in the liquor cabinet. The pots, the pans, the stuff. I mean, everything. It's like one day – I don't understand. Did the bank come in and say, hey, that's it? And, you know, take one suitcase in your car and you're gone, you know? But it just kind of bums you out in a way. But
sure.
People are picking through stuff, you know? And
so you got the yearbook?
Oh,
and apparently the booze from the prom night from 1987.
I can shave years off my age by going, yeah, here's my yearbook, 1987.
Well, now, Brad, if it was an 87 yearbook, then most of the beginnings of the notes would say, hey, pal.
Yeah, exactly. You're
right. It was great spending the school year with you, pal.
So anyways.
Hope we're pals forever.
But they are an interesting look at American culture because it looks at what
the hair alone, just the hair alone from 1987.
Yeah, but
the hairnet era.
Through somebody's garage sale, you see the crap that they collected and thought at one time, ooh, I'm going to buy all these. I'm going to buy all these. And then now they're sitting there for a quarter apiece and they're going, yeah, just, you know, make me an offer. And I walked into one guy's yard sale and he had table after table of diecast cars, you know, and I'm thinking that one time this guy thought those are going up in value, man. I'm going to quarter the market on them.
maybe just liked them.
Yeah. And then he had to have 300 shot glasses. From like all these
places, you know? That can contribute to why he has so many diecast cars.
Did he have a bunch of spoons framed in a
exactly? No, his wife did. No, but
remember those?
His wife was long gone because of the diecast cars and the shot glasses.
Yeah, right.
But you
now,
know what?
For those youngins that might be listening, our grandparents collected spoons. I don't know. Yes. I've never understood that.
I know. but I will tell you guys. Not a single good motorcycle and not a single BMX bike worth anything at any of those sales. So I wasted a bunch of time.
Yeah, well, Brad, because people are knowing what their value is now, and there's other places to sell those things or part them out or do deals. It's like so much of what you're talking about are things that you can't walk into a store and be like, hey, give me some money for this. Or, you know, like, plus a lot of old school stuff, you can't get on like, I don't know, OfferUp or Poshmark or something like that, because they probably don't know too much about that technology that's out there. Although I've got some industrial shelves around here I'm still trying to sell.
Well, you know, I think the last yard sale I went to was a divorce sale. and that's
that
where I bought my
half the stuff's on this side and half the stuff's on this side.
Yeah. And that's where I bought my GS550, which I made into a full on cafe racer. So
sometimes I have a friend who goes, you know, I mean, he's like Mr. Garage, and he brings back some incredible finds. But he'll say a lot of times he'll walk out and he'll be looking. And what he does is look in the side yard or look in the garage and he'll go, hey, what about that motorcycle? Or what about that car on the side? He bought a CUDA, a 440 CUDA at one. And I go, and he goes, I asked him, I said, you want to sell it? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to sell that one of these days. He goes, well, why not today? And he made a deal, and he came back with his trailer, got it that day. I was like, geez, dude, you know?
That's cool. Well, you know, that there's experts that do that. Man, they're there. They're what they call them, the early birds, and they're there at, like, you know, 4 in the morning. And if you look at a lot of those ads, they're like, please don't show up before 8 a.m. And at 5 in the morning, there's a line out front.
They're the same guys that go to Pomona the night before. I mean, Pomona swap meet is so huge. If you're out there and you haven't been, it has got to be one of the largest swap meets on a regular basis, not annual. And we used to do it at Boyd's all the time, and we'd send out a bunch of parts. And there were guys that would buy a space so that they could get in the night before. And as guys were setting up, they would come in and start looking with flashlights and looking at trucks and stuff and buying.
Cutting deals,
That's cheating.
That's
business.
Enthusiast.
Now, you guys, if you hear some snoring, I apologize. But
oh, look at that. Where's the blanket stop and the dog start?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, as
he snores,
as Pesto gets a little older, I think some of his spots, his darker spots, will lighten up a bit.
Maybe, but the Merles are pretty much there. Like I think he's 11 weeks, so I think he's old enough that this might be pretty much his coloring. So, but this is going to be my sidecar dog. Our last dog, we lost Jeep, last August. He had cancer and died suddenly, but, it took us a while to get this one, but Jeep didn't like to go to the shop. He wasn't a shop dog. He didn't like to ride in the car. God forbid you put him in a motorcycle with goggles. this guy, I think he loves cars. He's going to love the shop. So, cause you know, you want that companion, you know?
Yeah. He's not
a lab. He's not just good to do anything.
Matt's getting a Great Dane for the Matt cave.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, Matt can't have a Great Dane cause he's a jogger, and Great Danes can't jog cause their stomach will flip over it.
What?
Is that true?
Great Danes are kind of fragile. Yeah. My friend Heather, she was a runner, an athlete, and she, when I was growing up, and she always had Great Danes, and she'd run up the mountain with them. They'd run alongside the horses when we'd ride horses up the mountain. And she lost quite a few dogs. Something about their insides flip. I'm going to get this all wrong. It was from when I was a kid. That's what I remember. But it had something to do with the exertion and the running and their stomach can flip over or something their intestines and they die.
I don't know, but I will tell you there's a Great Dane in my neighborhood. And every time we walk the little dogs, he's in his backyard and he's got, I don't know, a 7-foot block wall.
Oh, yeah.
He probably just stands up on it.
And every time we walk by, his head is poked above the top. And his paws are up there. And I'm like, what the hell? It's a
beautiful dogs. Have you seen the dappled ones? They're like a Dalmatian. They have ones that are dappled, right? Oh, they're gorgeous. But that's a lot of dog, man. You need a saddle for that dog. You need a saddle and a horse trailer.
Front loader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a big couch.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Oh, hey, you guys. There's been a lot of talk about F-150 production stalled out because of microchips. We talked about that on the show. But I guess the latest is the seat foam, foam that they need for the interiors is going to start causing some delays because they're not able to get that. And Matt, did you get some lowdown on this as to why?
No, Brad. No, pal.
Well,
I was digging into it a little bit, and I don't know where it all started. Texas keeps coming up for some reason, but
because of
the storm. The
foam farms are located in Texas.
Well, just call up BJB in Studio City and get their 10-14 urethane foam, and you know, just make yourself some seats. That's a true thing. All those numbers are correct.
It seems like the shortages are going to start piling up the second half of this month in March. And
that's kind of an oxymoron. How can a shortage pile up?
Yeah, right. But some of the automakers, you know, have spoken out already, like GM and Toyota said that they don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. It's maybe a little too early to say for sure. And now everybody has to monitor the situation. So we'll see how that goes. But it's kind of interesting because we're already, the government's already talking about bailouts for the chip issue. It's because we can't get cars.
That's crazy. It's like, who would have ever thought that we'd be in a position where microchips and foam are going to hold up production for cars. And
who would ever thought that they wouldn't have water for 2 weeks in Texas and that bills would be $3,000-$5,000. You know, I mean,
So the Texas thing is crazier. You know, I just spoke to our friend Aaron Shelby. I just spoke to him yesterday, and I was like, "Hey, how'd it work out in Texas?" And he's like, "Hey, it's 75 degrees. It's nice out right now." So Brad's got yellow pads and we can't see his face.
I'm playing with things as I go.
It's interesting how the Texas thing is one issue and the chip thing is a pandemic related, but pandemic related is, you know, I'm working on a project in the beverage space, and the aluminum cans, I'm sure you guys have heard, it's been making news. huge shortage on aluminum cans because everybody that would normally drink just going out to a restaurant or a bar or a venue, concert, anything, all of that is like a lot of on tap stuff or plastic cups or whatever. And then when everyone was forced to be at home, everyone was just like, I'm just going to go to the grocery store, maybe have a drink at home. And aluminum cans are basically sold out for the next 2 years. Like it's done. And it got to the point, I talked to one of the suppliers that I'm working with on this project. And he's like, he goes, I know. I was like, I got to rush the timeline. And the guy's like, man, he goes, I hear you. He goes, but you got to understand what's going on in my end. He goes, we've literally had a semi truck of aluminum cans get kidnapped and get stolen. I was like, ooh, that's wow. That's some mafia stuff right there. Like someone's like, we need cans so bad. Go steal, I don't know, thousands of cans out of a semi truck.
Wow. So, and these are blanks, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. The cans are formed, right? So
right.
And they're open on the top. So then they get a print on them or a shrink wrap label filled. Cap goes on it, but the cans are made and the cans already have like a plastic liner that's in them, right? Because that's
right, a Teflon liner thing, yeah.
So people are stealing cans, but it goes back to even in our space in automotive, they're going to aluminum suppliers like Alcoa and saying, hey, how do we get this and how do we get that? We know Alcoa makes some aluminum pieces and rims and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The automotive space, but they're a huge aluminum supplier for other industries, you know, not just like body panels and rims.
Well, it's everything. Yeah.
No, this is wartime, man. This is wartime.
No, there's a lot of strange things going on that people don't realize the repercussions that we're going through. Just what you were talking about, Matt, we are having shortages in the wheel industry of aluminum blanks and rims. And it's not so much that there's a shortage of those items, but getting them transported because the trucking industry it's almost like all of the consumables, like you were talking about, all of the food and the soda pop and beer and all that, it's being transported because more people are at home. They're not eating out. And that's why the grocery stores have had shortages, but they've got to transport all that. And so they have scheduled trucks to bring us rims from Indiana. And at the last minute, the truck never shows up. And it's like, oh, yeah, we got a better deal transporting, XYZ products, you know. And so we get them that they just don't show up. You know, they're supposed to come on a day and they don't show up. And it's because they didn't leave for 2 weeks after they were supposed to or a week after. Drive anywhere like we do, like when I went to Phoenix last week, holy crap, man, there are more trucks on the road than I've ever seen.
Really?
But was there traffic? Was there, you know, was there a lot of traffic? Did it take a long time to get to Arizona?
There was a lot of traffic. And
it was a lot of traffic.
Between a third more trucks than I'm used to seeing. And then the other thing is everybody with their weekend campers. You know, and I'm not talking about the dirt rats that we always saw that take their motorcycles and stuff. There's, excuse me, all of those guys. But I saw more like old 1940s and 1950s trailers that somebody dug out of a backyard and put new tires on. I saw
they put grandpa's trailer out back on the road.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw a guy with a brand new Ford Raptor and he had one of those little teardrop and it was ancient.
Those are cool though.
Tires, you know, and it was like crazy.
So, you know, I got to say, we've talked about this a couple times being an overlander that, I'm wearing an overland shirt today that, you know, it's a thing now much more than it was 2 years ago. But we're seeing a lot more motorhomes and like you said, these trailers. So in the last, let's say month and a half, three of my friends that I know have sold their houses and bought a big ass motorhome that probably cost as much as their house. And they're like, we're done. We're done with all this stuff. We're just going to get a motorhome and just stay at a park and drive cross country and stay at RV parks and just enjoy life. And I'm like, right on. But three people in the last month and a half, no joke. What a trip. I mean, it's like, it's a thing, you know?
No, there's a lot of that. And
why pay those property taxes, right?
Yeah. Well, that may be part of it. I haven't had conversations with them to ask them all the reasons, but yeah, man, I, you know, these guys are a little political. You know, two of them are pretty out there.
Every time something drops, something else has to go up. And I bet you ask them, they're going to say, hey, we stopped at parks and the fee to park plug in is at an all-time high, right? Because we there was some statistic from whatever the rental companies, RV America or something, were like, oh, our rental's at an all-time high. Like everybody's just in a Winnebago, just living on Earth, you know, because people are working from home and they're like, well, we might as well do it from the road.
Yeah, well, two of them are California, one of them's Nevada. So, you know, I can't say they're all the same state, but yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, I would imagine, I think like $50 or $20 or something on average, maybe in a lot of campsites to park your RV, depending on your hookups and stuff, you know, if you're by the beach or I've seen a bunch of different pricing. But yeah, I mean, if you think that's your permanent home and you're doing that, I mean, is it like a cheap motel where you can, you know, move to a ski town and get a quick job and stay at a hotel for $400 a week or something, you know, is it better than rent or a mortgage? I don't know,
pal. Maybe they were trying to stay away from having an estate sale, you know. You just know.
My old manager Craig still says pal. He's like, hey pal.
Well, we're gonna,
I don't know, man, it's right like here. It's a little
when
condescending
comes up to us anywhere. They need to say, hey pal, listen to your last shifting steer. Hey, but you know what, along that lines, I don't know if I told you guys, you know that Astro van that I had that was two-tone and slammed and everything?
Oh, yeah.
I just got rid of that. My brother-in-law called me and he goes, you still get that Astro van that only had 30,000 miles on it? I go, I do. And he goes, well, what would you sell it to me for? I've been doing camping and going out. And he goes, I need something like that. And I said, arrange the transport and you can have it. And, so it's getting shipped to Nebraska, and he's gonna put a bed.
It's all
in the
lowered
back
with 20s on it, Hotchkiss suspension,
airbags.
It's all bagged.
Nice, man.
Perfect for overlanding.
Well, no, see, he doesn't go overlanding. He goes to, like you were saying, the campsites where you get a
spot. Got it. Yeah.
And so it'll be perfect. And like I told
him, he won't stand out at all. Yeah, he won't stand out at all.
Too low. I said, put stock suspension back on it. Raise it up stock height, and it's still a nice van. But he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to pay me for that because I've got some wood floors that I need him to put in, and he's really good at that. So,
oh, awesome. Whew, sorry. French bulldogs are notorious for their flagellance. he just shook my arm pretty hard.
So, hey, it's March, and nothing says March like Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale.
What?
Yes.
Nothing says January like Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale. Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale is coming up, and I don't know if you guys read the news. They are going above and beyond on
drones.
The cleanliness. The drones, they've got the UV lights to kill the germs. They're flying drones over to mist people in the air. Like, it's just incredible what they're
everybody's going to have the most amazing teeth all day long.
Yeah. The drones are really interesting because that was developed by ASU, and not Arizona State University, but Alabama State University. And wow. they were done for their football stadiums. And then they started saying, hey, if you got another football stadium, we can do it. And like you said, Matt, they fly over, they missed it. And then for, I think it's a 3 or 4 hours, it's germ free. And it's pretty cool. I don't think they're going to fly them over the crowd, but they're going to fly them over the seating areas.
Yeah, I was going to say that can't be healthy. I mean,
because these things are weed eaters, man. Those are big rotors on there, you know. One of those go, fall down on the crowd might not be good. But yeah, they're going to
be. So you're saying the future is going to be audibly like weed eaters everywhere? Because noise pollution, drone pollution.
If you think about it, though, like they can do it, you know, even after hours. Like one way to, you know, close up the auction, whatever, five or whatever it goes. Not the primetime nights, but whatever. And then just fly over the whole thing.
They can fog the place.
Well, yeah, face it like that. It's like a fogger.
When I was there,
you don't need a striped house.
When I was there in October, I stuck around after the show and was talking to a few people, and an army of people came in, and they were wiping and spraying, and you know, every surface and every seat and every table up on the auction block. And now they'll close. These drones will come in, and you know, I'm sure they'll have the people come in and vacuum. They'll have them come in and pick up trash, but then the drones will come in, and in a fraction of the time, those things will miss the place and be done with it, you know? So it'll be great.
Yeah. I would even argue expense as well. You got to get 100 people rolling in to wipe everything down, and there's no guarantee that you really get everything, but you're right. If you basically fog the event, you know, with this stuff and just drop it like a big bomb, like a bug bomb.
Yeah.
No, you I mean, professional wipers are expensive. Just ask Eddie Murphy. Okay. I mean,
you know, I'm curious too, how, you know, we've been seeing a lot of new products on the shelves for cleaning and sanitization, you know, and they're, I don't know how different the products are. They may be just rebranding them, but I haven't really seen anything for car interiors. I'm really curious, because I think a lot of the disinfectants out there with damaged leather and damaged dashes, you know, that they might attract and UV stuff, you know, using an ozone generator in mine every, you know, like once a week, I'll just put it on for an hour, you know, and douse it with the AC on or the vents running.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Oh yeah. But it's I think Brad's got some, but it's kind of interesting. I have asked some of my detail friends, and you know, I've been watching Ammo, my buddy Larry, and nobody's really like tackled it. They're all kind of vague, and you know, there's it's interesting, because you know, we don't know how the long-term effects of those products are going to be on our interiors, you know. It's but I like when we bought Misha's car. Oh, steam, yeah. When we bought Misha's car, they had treated it somehow, but they wouldn't tell us what they used. So is that steam and UV, Brad?
No, this is a chemical, and it's made to you know, mist it. Say it's and the thing is what's unique about it is that you can see the mist coming out. See it right there?
Yeah, it's blue.
And it kills the germs, and then what it does is it immediately dries, so it doesn't harm the surfaces. Kills the germs. Like, I can do it on my keyboard, and it's not even wet.
That's a
clean supply.
Oh, that's cool. That's the first I've seen. Oh, what? Badass. Brad, while you stepped away, I was telling Matt I've been using my ozone generator, and it has a UV filter in it. And then I'll use my steamer. You know, I got that smart car from Colorado, and first thing I did is just run the ozone in it for a couple hours, and then just steam all the surfaces. I figured, out the air filter. You got to take out the inside air filter. That's a big one. You take those out, put a new air filter in, but you know, for light cleaning, daily cleaning, you know, or just when you're touching stuff and shopping and, interesting.
The atomizers have been used in the hospitality industry for years. Because what's unique about them is that when it sprays, it envelops. So if you go into a hotel room and you spray the, the surface of anything, it goes around the back of a chair. It goes around, you know, everywhere. And now they're using them in the airlines. This is what they're using to clean planes and
cool.
Things like that. And so
you mind sending me a link on that, Brad? I wouldn't mind picking one of those up.
Yeah, I'll fill you in. I'll send both of you. Actually, I will disclose. They're a client of my Bondspeed Media company. But they
cool.
It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm sold.
I want to say that the guys at Guys, Car Care Line, they have antibacterial interior cleaner and like antibacterial, like all over clear, you know, like we have the detailers now that you can use on your dash and your touchscreen and your whatever.
Right.
They have a complete vehicle care spray. an antibacterial spray, I believe. I think it's called Hyperban. Hyperban, oh, cool. Complete vehicle antibacterial disinfectant cleaner.
It's, well, you know, I guess I just haven't been doing my homework, folks. I'm sorry.
You know, everything's changing. Everything's changing, guys. Back to Barrett Jackson.
Yes.
They got a lot of great stuff, but interesting, there's no Sunday auction this year. The dates are the 20th through the 27th.
Yes.
Now, as you know, usually it's Saturday and Sunday, but it's only Saturday this year. So if you're planning a trip down there, make sure you don't just assume there's going to be a Sunday auction. I imagine it's because
they have no drone Sunday
and it's Palm Sunday.
Oh,
so, you know, there's a lot of people that maybe wouldn't come because of religious beliefs. I don't know, but, or maybe they just couldn't get that date. Who the hell knows? So,
yeah, it'll still be a good event. I think they've got some cool cars lined up. They're really going in all on the cars. And you know, I'm still thinking about going out there, Brad. You said you were probably going.
Yeah,
I'm going.
Yeah, I already got my arrangements. So,
might try to head out there and try to figure out again. I just haven't, you know, I don't plan on buying anything or selling anything right now, and I don't want to impose by being a spectator only. And I don't know what the rules are yet on the spectator portion of this. Is it consigners and buyers only, or is there...
I don't really know. I believe they're selling packages, like, you know, like they have in the past. So that tells me they're going to have a spectator gate. So I'm not sure. We'll have to check into that, and maybe we'll let you know on the next episode.
Very cool.
Yeah. So 16 days now before it starts, you know, and it's a, like you said, like a week long event. So it'll be interesting. Now, Barrett Jackson, Scottsdale, and before, I believe, it was 9 days, and this is going to be 7 days.
Yeah, they've
but some cool stuff. I mean, they got that Ferrari, that 275 GTB4. They've got the carbon fiber 4 GT, I believe, and they've got
a lot of number one cars off the production line.
So the charity cars, usually the car manufacturers hit them up for charity cars, and you're right, like I want to say the first Bronco, the first Hummer EV, the first Mach 1,
the TRX, I believe,
TRX, the Cadillacs we spoke about the other day, the Black Wings, the CT, the 4 and the 5, like all of the, you know, VIN number ones of those cars are all going to go at Barrett Jackson. And I believe the Corvette C8, which is, although it's already out and everything, but that was already allocated from back in the January auction.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh?
Yeah, so they still got that allocation. And those are actually really fun auctions to see. Those.
How much somebody pays for them.
yeah. Because we've seen, you know, Hendrick, you know, spend $400,000 on a car that's going to be $39,000 when it hits the showroom floor. You know, but it'll be interesting to see.
It's amazing. But hey, we should call it a day. What else do you guys have?
Well, not a lot, but you can see all over my floor.
You have a
hey, did you get your rack in yet, Matt?
Yeah, that's the rack system from LevRack.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this.
First of all, they did me the favor, and they got the FedEx white glove service. So the FedEx truck shows up, and two guys like bust open the crates. They unload everything. I couldn't just stand there. So I was walking back and forth, carrying all this shit.
I thought you stood there with a cup of coffee going, doing a good job, boys.
Yeah, doing a good job.
A little to the left.
Put it over there, pal.
I'm going to take a nap. And then you guys, and then I realized, God, I'm sore. My neck's hurt. Moving all this stuff in, and then they haul everything away, right? They take all
that's great.
The straps and the box and all that stuff. And then I go, I was talking to the guy. I was like, yeah, thanks for unloading it. I guess you guys do this all the time. He goes, I've never worked this hard in my life on this order. So it went pretty smoothly, but now I've got to crack it open and figure out how to build.
Now you got to put it together.
I've got to put
Hey, Brad, I hope a buddy Matt's a good tipper.
Yeah.
Here's some Corolla swag.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Matt, next
here's some Apple stickers.
No, it better not still be sitting in boxes.
Well, when are you coming over, Brad?
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, Matt, if I was close to you, I would totally come and help you do that. And you know that.
Sweet Aaron is and Brad laughing.
I would.
I'd love doing that shit, man.
If I wasn't, I'd be IKEA kid. For my mezzanine, I'd be there.
Yeah.
They used to call me the IKEA kid. No joke, man. I love that stuff.
I kind of want to dig into a little bit and see.
Rector.
I talked to the guys from Levrec a few times, and I know we're out of time, but he basically just said, you kind of need a second pair of hands to do the initial frame.
Absolutely.
Goes, you're going to want to fall over and
But building the drawers that hang in the shelves, I guess you can do it while it's hanging or something. Cause he said one person can do that.
Yeah. Cool. Just build it against a wall, Matt, just build it against a wall. There's your other guy.
That's it.
And in the corner, especially. Then he got two other guys.
Anyway, follow me at Moderator on my social media, and I will try to post all this stuff as it goes along.
Cool. All right, everybody. Ooh. Find me online at Bradley_Fanshaw. And Matt, where can they find the show?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com, of course. And we're on all social media, Shift Steer Media, Shift and Steer. All the links are on the website as well.
Yeah, you can find me all over at Aaron Hagar. I haven't posted the puppy yet because we lost our uncle the other day too, so I didn't want to.
You lost your uncle?
Yeah. Uncle Junior passed away. Oh, you knew Uncle Junior? Yeah, Brad. Yeah,
I didn't know.
Yeah, well, we don't want to end on that note. Wonderful guy, but you know, it's not time. So we'll post pictures of the puppy too because he's pretty awesome. And let's rock and roll.
All right, guys. Hey, thank you, and we'll be back next week.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.